everybody. This is Maggie from The Positude Shows. Tonight's show will kind of be a positive powwow because I don't have a guest tonight. But I wanted to talk about child trafficking and get into the events that have been unfolding this past week regarding the situation in Arizona and veterans on patrol. To start off, 1.2 million children are trafficked each year, these statistics according to an organization called Ark of Hope. A description of a child that is trafficked, whether for labor, sex, or organ trafficking, comes from all backgrounds, including both boys and girls. They span a wide age range from 1 to 18 years old. Sex trafficking victims up to roughly 25 years old most often started as young as 14. The kids are trafficked out of or into the U.S. from all regions of the world and represent a variety of different races, ethnic groups, and religions. They may be brought to the U.S. legally or smuggled in. Trafficked children can be lured into the U.S. through the promise of school or work or promised the opportunity to send money back to their families. Children are also vulnerable to kidnappers, pimps, and professional brokers. Some children are even sold to traffickers by their families who may or may not have an understanding of what will happen to the child. U.S.-born children are also trafficked within the U.S. coming from any racial group, socioeconomic background, and come from or trafficked within both city and rural areas. These numbers are very troubling, and they're growing. 600,000 to 800,000 women, children, and men brought and sold across international borders every year and exploited for forced labor, or commercial sex. This is a statistic that was shared back in 2012 by the UNODC, the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime reports, if you can trust their figures. It also goes on to say when internal trafficking victims are added to the estimates, the number of victims annually is in the range of 2 to 4 million. 50% of those victims are estimated to be children. It is estimated that 76% of transactions for sex with underage girls start on the internet. 2 million children are subjected to prostitution in the global commercial sex trade, which is UNICEF. And there are 20.9 million victims of trafficking worldwide as of 2012. 1.5 million victims in the U.S. Human trafficking has surpassed the illegal sale of arms. Trafficking will surpass the illegal sale of drugs in the next few years. Drugs are used once and they're gone, but victims of child trafficking can be used and abused over and over. A $32 billion a year industry, human trafficking is on the rise and is in all 50 states. 4.5 million trafficked persons are sexually exploited. Up to 300,000 Americans under the age of 18 are lured into the commercial sex trade every year. And 14,500 to 17,500 of those victims are trafficked into the U.S. each year. Then according to non-governmental U.S. sources, the average victim's age is 11 to 14. Approximately 80% of women and children are bought, sold, and imprisoned in the underground sex slave industry. Average lifespan of a victim is reported to be 7 years. They're usually found dead from an attack, abuse, HIV, and other STDs, or malnutrition, overdose, or suicide. The largest group of at-risk children are runaway, thrown away, or homeless American children who use survival sex to acquire food, shelter, clothing, and other things needed to survive on America's streets. According to the National Runaway Switchboard, 1.3 million runaway and homeless youth live on America's streets every day. 5,000 die each year. It would not be surprising to learn that the number of children trafficked in the U.S. is actually much higher than 300,000. And again, these numbers are a little bit old. Children are often targeted by traffickers as they are deemed easier to manipulate than adults. More money can be earned by younger girls and boys exploited in sexual exploitation, especially virgins. Prepubescent girls are reported to be injected with hormones to bring on puberty. Younger girls are expected to have a greater earning potential and as such are in greater demand. Physical and mental consequences of trafficking for victims include physically and sexually abused. They have distinctive medical and psychological needs that must be addressed before advancing in the formative years of adulthood. Child victims of exploitation can face a number of long-term health problems, sleeping, eating disorders, STDs, HIV, AIDS, pelvic pain, rectal trauma, and urinary difficulties from working in the sex industry, drug addiction, chronic back, hearing, cardiovascular or respiratory problems, from endless days toiling in dangerous agriculture, sweatshop or construction conditions, fear and anxiety, depression, mood changes, guilt and shame, cultural shock from finding themselves in a strange country, PTSD, and traumatic bonding with the trafficker. Agencies that I hear about all the time, are ones such as Craig Sawyer, Veterans for Child Rescue, is doing a lot to aid in the prevention of and catching criminals who are involved in child trafficking. There are many organizations out there. VOP, as I said, just recently came to light this past week. I have done some investigating into both their origin, the leader's origin, and also some of the organizations that are linked to the site that was found due to the property in which the site was on. So I'm going to just throw all of the information that I have out there to you and let you make your own decisions. I do have a personal opinion, of course, of my own. I'd like for this show to be as not slanted and as fair as possible. However, I will throw in my opinions here and there along the way, just from what I've dug up and some of the things that I've seen personally from watching some of the videos and reading some of the articles. So here we go. We'll jump right into it, but the first thing that I wanted to say was, regardless of whether or not the story is proven true, or regardless of whether or not you personally feel as though this is a legitimate or an illegitimate story, the fact that child trafficking, child sex slavery, demonic ritualization involving children and blood sacrifice are all very, very real and legitimate topics. And there's something that as a country, we need to come together and fight these evil forces against. We can't allow this to go on. These are our children. Let's look at some of the things that I've uncovered this past week. It is my understanding that Veterans on Patrol Alpha Team, led by Lewis Arthur, is a grassroots organization outreach program. They claim to have a ministry. They're helping military veterans and have been homeless people and providing basic assistance, services, and a meal. They recon areas, rather, seek out help for homeless veterans and actually homeless people in general. I had watched an interview given by Lewis Arthur that was directed by Jason Tillman. He was the interviewer back in 2015. You can find that just simply by searching. It's on ArizonaDailyIndependent.com. Just search Lewis Arthur article from 2015, Jason Tillman. I'm sure it'll pop up for you. But in that interview, he seems to me to come across as a very caring, legitimate person. He seems to really have a deep empathy and sympathy for not only veterans and the way that they've been treated in our country, but also for homeless people in general. So this organization has been around for a while. I do believe that a lot of their efforts are in good faith. They are looking to help people. However, having said that, when I did some further digging into the background of Lewis Arthur, I did find some derogatory videos in regards to his personality and some of his previous missions that he was attempting to kind of forcefully put himself involved in. I'm not sure that he was asked for help. I think he just kind of jumped in and tried to put his two cents in and take over a situation or slant a situation. I know that he was linked to some of the things that were going on in involvement with the Bundy Ranch. I have read that he was thrown out of there. So his background, you know, a lot of people could say that his background is questionable at best. However, in my personal opinion, the work that he's done for homeless people and for veterans sort of redeems him in my eyes, because I do think that, I want to think that his heart is in the right place. But let me phrase it that way. I also want to be realistic, though, in sharing all of the information that comes forward. So I do have to address the fact, in all fairness, that he has been involved in some kind of sketchy behavior previous to the story coming to light. He does claim to be a Christian. Again, if you watch that video, I was pretty impressed with it. And I've researched other articles regarding the organization. They do seem to be helping a lot of people. And so here we go. This is where the story starts. Apparently, he was doing his usual thing, and they were searching Arizona territory for homeless people and for homeless vets. And in the course of that, according to what I had read, they had found some solar lights that directed them to a path in which they found what they claimed to be an underground camp and bunker. It was used to house children that were being taken illegally and possibly raped and abused. when I first heard of the story without doing any background investigation into VOP and to Mr. Arthur, I was at first very, very upset, as I think a lot of us were as American citizens, as to what appeared to be uncovered. And I posted a few videos from the VOP, as did some of my personal friends and peers who also do shows on this network with me. And it seemed at first as though he was really uncovering a big story. Some very big fish were convinced to go down there. Although I have to say, after hearing from these guys like Craig Sawyer, I follow him on Facebook and his social media pages. He came out and said that he was called down there and he boogied down there in the middle of the night because he was told by this organization that there were children being held. When he got to the site, he realized that that wasn't the case. So that's the first little bit of a misconception there. He went down there under the premise of there actually being children held on site and wanted to get down there. And I've watched his videos as well. He says that he even beat his news and media crew down there. He just boogied to the site and wanted to help save the children. And this is where it gets interesting to me. From the initial videos from the Veterans on Patrol and from the initial videos that Craig posted on his own social media sites, everything there seemed to really portray that this was a sex trafficking camp, that it was a place where children were being abused and raped and possibly killed. I know that there's a list, a laundry list of things that were purportedly found on the scene. The initial findings were on May 29th, and they give the location that it was near I-19 in Valencia in Tucson, Arizona. It's my understanding that Craig and his guys, or at least one guy, Jerry Payton, who was a Tucson firefighter, had responded to the scene on Thursday the 31st. Everybody knows Craig, Veterans for Child Rescue, former Navy SEAL, Marine sniper, and the founder of Veterans for Child Rescue. He seemed initially very, very troubled by the results. And when I looked at the pictures, there were many things there that very much unsettled me. And anybody who knows me and knows that I do have spiritual gifts, my stomach just lurched. I was very nauseated by some of the details that they showed on the video that were found at the scene. Found originally were dresser crates. Of course, the underground bunker. These were in the underground bunker. Children's clothes, a girl's earring, children's snacks, cereal, tree restraints, and even in Craig's own words, from what he appeared to ascertain from the original investigation of the site, was two trees that held a whole bunch of restraints, old fire hose at different heights on the tree up to above 8 feet, that looked to be a sex slave tree. And then there was a curtain or a protection of some sort around those two trees. And in his words, there was a rope that went to the outside, like a post to what he initially determined to be a lookout point. And what he assumed was going on there initially was that somebody was at the lookout if there was somebody behind the curtain raping or harming a children, they would pull on the rope to kind of give a heads up to the person inside the curtain that was violating the child or the woman that, you know, somebody was coming, be careful, stop raping. Also, initially, some of the things that were thrown about to have been found, supposedly been found on the scene, were a crib, a stroller, empty containers of black hair dye, an outdoor toilet, pornographic material. There was also an allegation of a brush found with blonde hair. Somebody also mentioned a knife, bloody knife, and some bloody blankets, boxes of condoms, kids' toys, and then later on, graves and a bone saw were also some things that were thrown about in conjunction with the story. Now, what actually was found, according to Craig and to some of the other people that have reported on this story, were the black hair dye, the child's earrings, the food, the children's snacks. Yes, there was a buried, turned on its side septic or water container containing a dresser and crates. And there are photographic evidential documents to prove this. There are pictures that show a little dresser with some like little crates and snacks and some children's toys inside of there. There's also a piece of wood, and the opening of the bunker is a tire. According to Craig, it was rounded at the bottom, so it would be very difficult for a child to rest there comfortably. And from his initial analysis of the scene, he didn't feel that if it were just a homeless camp, in conjunction, of course, with the paraphernalia that was found attached to the trees, the child stroller, the outdoor toilet, the pornographic material that were most definitely found at the scene. There's photographic evidence of that. That this was just a homeless camp, because he said he couldn't imagine a child being put into those circumstances, somebody that loved their child. Why wouldn't they just lay him out on the ground under a tarp or under a blanket? And also the ramp, the gentleman from VOP says, well, the wooden ramp was used to slide the children up, and that both of them also agreed to the fact that because of the location, because this tank was buried under the ground, it wasn't able to have been seen overhead by drones that VOP had flown, and also the tank, you wouldn't hear a child scream. And a little child could not get in or out of there by itself. If a child were placed into that holding cell or that tank, it would be trapped there. Going by what I saw personally in the photograph, going by how I felt when I looked at the evidence that was photographed at the scene, going by what both of these gentlemen's personal opinions were at the onset of the discovery of the site, it really looks to be as though it were a rest stop or a trafficking site that was used for a very long time. One of the guys said, and I'm not sure if it was Craig or someone else, that it appeared as though the site had been last used or inhabited about 10 days prior to the discovery of the site. So what did VOP do? Well, they called the police. When Craig went out there, he says that there were three police officers at the scene and no children. And again, I'll reiterate that he did say that he was told when he was called out there that there were children being held at the scene, but they were not there. The police left. And then it was at that point that Craig and the other gentleman did an investigation of the site with the VOP people. What happened after that? Well, we're seeing subsequent videos that were produced and put out by the VOP that they were calling for the police to come in and do an investigation. Craig had also said in his videos that he had reported the information that he had found to the FBI and asked that they in good faith come out and observe the scene and do an investigation. And to my understanding, nobody showed up there until like Saturday morning. So we go from Tuesday till Saturday with no police doing a thorough investigation of the site. And then on Saturday, when the police did come in to investigate, everything that I've seen and read on the story says that they were there. I've heard reports that there were about 20 guys there, and they were there for about 2 hours and investigated the site. And then after that, physically bulldozed the site over. When I look at subsequent videos that were put out by Craig, and when I look at what his video stated, was that there was no evidence, that the police did determine that there was no evidence to positively say that this was a child trafficking site. The case was pretty much dismissed. It was over. But some of the things that I have to question in that investigation, just because I'm a curious person by nature, I'm not saying that these guys didn't do their job properly, but the things that were debunked in the subsequent videos are things that were rumored to be there, but that were not there on the site. That raises questions to me, because there were statements thrown about by the VOP that they found things like a knife, and gosh, there were other things. I had heard reports that there were bloodied clothes and bloodied blankets and a brush with blonde hair. I don't recall anything like that being talked about in the investigation. Boxes of condoms. Several times during the videos, Mr. Arthur from VOP claims that there were boxes of condoms that were found on the site, but I don't hear any of that in the subsequent investigation. Those, according to Craig, were not found, at least, the box of condoms, the bloody knife. And then most recently, Mr. Arthur claims to have found a human child skull and then bones picking up out of the ground from an area that he, when he traversed further, uncovered another, what he thought was a child maybe holding area, although he said he didn't find any signs of sexual involvement, no sex trees or anything like that. And so there are a lot of discrepancies to the story, and it's up to us to use our own discernment and our own judgment to kind of filter out, and figure out what's real and what's fake. Well, we know that the hair dye was there. We know that the child stroller was there, the crib, the outdoor toilet, pornographic material. there is several times mention made verbally of a child's earrings, the crates, the dresser, the child's snacks. My question is, how come in the interview or in the subsequent news stories in regards to the evidence that was definitely found on the scene, how come, I'm just curious, how come, you know, the cops didn't go into the tank, or did they? We're just not hearing about it, which I suppose is a possibility. Do fingerprint testing on the inside of that container and do DNA testing on the leftover foodstuffs that were there, the earring that was supposedly found, the boxes of hair dye. What about forensic investigation on the tree itself in regards to the child restraint? You know, were there semen samples that were found? What was there adequate and proper testing done? Gosh, you know, I don't know. I mean, if there are 20 cops there in a 2-hour investigation, you want to think so? You want to hope that that would be the case? But I'm not seeing anything coming to light in regards to what was absolutely found at the scene and photographically documented. What I'm hearing, however, are the rumors of what VOP claims to have found and wasn't able to produce. You know, for example, like I said, the bloody knife, the brush with the hair on it. So there's a lot of speculation going on here, and there's a lot of information that doesn't line up. But the thing that just kind of sticks in my craw personally is the stuff that was found. You know, where is all of the real scientific evidence that that stuff was investigated, that they did check for DNA samples, that they did check if there was any blood found on the site? Where are the fingerprints? Did they fingerprint the inside of that cavity, that holding tank? Did they DNA test the tree and the straps? And was there any blood found on the scene? And did they test that? And, you know, I'm not a forensics expert. I don't know how long it would take to get a DNA or a blood sample back from a lab, but it just seems like a 2-hour investigation and then a really quick bulldozing of the site after that, to me, I think it's a little bit quick, in my opinion. And that's my opinion. Sure. And I just want to make sure that we have all of the facts. Does the VOP seem to be sensationalizing and exaggerating the story? There's no doubt in my mind that they have sensationalized the story to a degree, and that they've made kind of a really big deal out of this. But I have to say, in their defense, they found what appears to be very much a child trafficking area where some very, very demonic, evil things were going on. And so in their frustration, I know me personally and the kind of person that I am, if I were in that scenario myself and I put myself in these people's shoes, I'd be pissed. You know, I'd want to know why was it bulldozed immediately? Why, where's this, where's that? I'd be asking questions. And so is part of what they're exaggerating out of frustration, because what really seemed to be a credible child trafficking camp, is it because it was destroyed so quickly that they had said from the inception that they were going to continue to push on to find the exact route that the coyotes were taken to get these kids wherever they were taking them? One thing that sticks in my mind too, very much bothers me, is the black hair dye. Because aside from the fact that there were claims that there was blonde hair found on a hairbrush, even if it were a prostitution, let's just say that it were being used for just a prostitution ring, in my opinion, there would be brunette hair dye, there would be blonde hair dye, there would be auburn hair dye. They'd be dyeing these people's hairs, and you know, there would be a lot of makeup on at the site so that they could doll them up for prostitution purposes. But they're not. There's not red hair dye there. There's not blonde hair dye there. There's only black. There are empty boxes of only black hair dye. So in my opinion, and I know that Craig had said this as well in his video initially, at least, this was being used to dye fair-haired children's hair in order to get them over the border into Mexico. That makes perfect sense to me. That fits. Why else the only black hair dye and several boxes of them on the site? Obviously, homeless people, it's not something that they're going to use. You know, they're going to be more concerned with foodstuffs and supplies that they need to camp out, and pet food if they have dogs, but not hair dye. To my way of thinking, I think it's important that the trail is followed. I think it's important that continuing investigations do be done to uncover these trails where human traffickers are taking people, illegal immigrants, if they're using part of this trail to be taken in and out of Mexico. I do believe that there is more investigation that needs to be done. And I think it's important. I think that at least what these guys were trying to do in that sense is important. So here we fast forward to a couple of days later, and now they've found a deserted, you know, area of trailers. I do think from what the guy showed on the video, I didn't watch the whole thing. It got kind of tedious, I'll be honest with you. To me, it looks like people were staying there that were homeless or were immigrants. There are parts of the fence that were folded down. Yeah, I believe that immigrants were traveling back and forth across there, potentially child traffickers as well. There were personal belongings that he did show in the video that there was a woman's like fuzzy zebra shape or design slipper, stuff like that. Yeah, women were probably staying there and maybe some kids too. There were some kids' toys. But that whole area doesn't have, I don't think, as much evidence of it being a child trafficking camp or a sexual abuse site as the first location, which was Bulldozed. So are they pressing forward and just kind of now because their first site was bulldozed over and as far as police were concerned, debunked, are they becoming more aggressive? Are they trying to maybe sensationalize their videos a little bit more and make it seem more exciting and maybe, you know, draw conclusions as to what they found when there really isn't evidence that they found something, at least in my opinion, of the magnitude of the first site? Yeah, I think that that's probable. As far as the claims of the skull that was found, it's my understanding that it was many miles away from the first camp. That could, yes, I have or watched the whole Alex Jones interview, read it, whatever. Yeah, it could have been from an immigrant crossing over that had perished there. I'm sure that that happens. I'm sure the immigrants die in their journey to get across the border. As far as the bones sticking up out of the soil and the mounds there on the property, I can't say what those are. I don't know. I mean, that's something that, again, it needs to be investigated. The DNA needs to be tested. We need to find out exactly what these are. Are they animal bones? Are they human bones? What are they? But I think that the way that VOP is sensationalizing that, I really don't think it's fair. I don't think that it's accurate. I think that, again, they're trying to trump up what they're finding along the way. And that's unfortunate because what I think initially was a very credible, legitimate news story, they're taking credence away from themselves when they do stuff like that. I don't claim to know everything. I'm going by what I'm reading and what I'm seeing on the internet, and I'm forming my own conclusions, and I hope that you do too. One of the things that I did want to talk about was the absolute, absolute media attempt and Facebook's attempt to take down these videos as these gentlemen were posting them. I posted videos myself several times from this group. I can see them on my computer Facebook wall. They're not on my phone wall. I asked a couple of friends, go back a couple of days and see if that story's on there. And they're telling me, no, we can't see that story. I know that videos are disappearing. I know that they're disappearing from their Facebook site as well. The fact that there's so much of an effort, a concentrated effort to scrub and get rid of the facts that are being shown in the videos that are somewhat factual, I think, being shown, that also speaks very loudly to me. Why? Why is there such a concentrated effort to not have these videos be shown, to not have these videos be played, to have them stick or disappear? That speaks loudly to me. Okay. The fact that the site was bulldozed almost immediately, that to me also raises some questions. Why? Why is it such a big deal to try and cover up and hide everything if there's nothing to hide? Just common sense. Anybody that's done any kind of journalism or been involved in any sort of anything that even fringes on either in alternative media or on conspiracy theorism knows firsthand, we've all been a victim of when we've tried to present or out a story that we know has merit and we know has credibility to it, how we ourselves have been subject to this type of behavior. And that to me is not only unconstitutional according to our freedom of speech rights, but it's just not right. It's just not honest. It's just not moral. But why is this going on? That throws up a lot of red flags for me. It's being paid absolutely no attention. And when stories are being presented, when these videos are coming out, they're being hidden. They're being taken down. Why? Think about that for just a minute. also, in the interest of looking at the whole picture, someone on Facebook pointed out to me, and I really appreciate this, an article that was published on August 21st, 2017 by ADI News Services. The headline is Tucson Police Chief Sued for Not Protecting Child Sex Slaves. Go ahead and research that article on your own and conclude of that also what you will. Obviously, there's some dirty deeds going on in Arizona. There has been mention made of the fact that Arizona police force has been cut into one third of what they used to have in regards to active officers, and also that there are patrols being made by unarmed people that basically respond to domestic calls but aren't responding to criminal calls. So those things also should be taken into account when we look at this situation as a whole. Again, going back to the underground bunker, you know, we look at this in this railing piece of wood that was in there. A kid couldn't get in and out of there on their own. Yeah, I've heard the Alex Jones report, you know, there were kids nearby, local community, may have been playing there on the premises. It's possible that that's why there were children's toys and foodstuffs thrown into the little container there. That doesn't sit well with me. I really don't see children unattended playing in a site where potentially it's kind of like a well situation. If a little kid was to go in there and climb around and be hanging out, number one, it's very, very hot inside of that. You're in an Arizona temperature. The plastic container, the heat index in there, I would think would be very, very uncomfortable. A child wouldn't be drawn to play there. Why would they? It's too hot. It's too uncomfortable. Why would they want to climb in there and play in and hang around and use that as a hangout when they could simply, you know, throw a tarp or a rope and make an impromptu tent as a playground or a, you know, kind of a camp area? I don't see that. I don't see why a kid would want to be drawn to go in there and hang out in suffering Arizona heat, sweltering temperatures, and aside which the bottom is reported to be up and rounded. It's not something that a child could sit in and play in or even take a nap in comfortably, right? That's been reported. Why? Why would a kid just go there and hang out and play and then have the risk of once they got down in that little bunker area, how are they going to get out of there? How are they going to climb out on their own? They're not going to be able to climb out of there without the help of a much larger child to help pull them up or an adult. And you would think that an adult would not allow their child to play on that site because what's the purpose of it? Why? It just doesn't make sense to me. Let's talk for a few minutes about the property that was owned and the company that it was owned by in which this site was found. We've all seen the stories. The company was called CEMEX that owns the land, but it's a multinational company that deals in building materials, primarily cement and concrete. They have operations all over America, Mexico, and lots of countries. They're the largest Mexican cement company. And they operate out of South America. And just as an aside, that's also where the cartels are located, or South America. And we'll get into this later. The Pope is also from South America. It's my understanding from some initial investigation of the company that they are a cement company, but they are also involved in technological things as well. Carlos Slim is the owner. He's also the second largest stockholder of the New York Times. CEMEX is a partner of the Clinton Global Initiative. They're a donor to the Clinton Foundation. They are linked to the Clinton Foundation through Haiti. They're owned by Bronfeld Rothschild. Soros also owns stock. You can find this. All of this is documented. You can just do your own research and find the sources that I found. Soros owns stock was listed on the Holdings channel. Soros Fund Management LLC, top holdings, and CEMEX pops right up there on the list. Sarah Bronson's husband became the head of the U.S.-Libya Trade Initiative. CEMEX is also under DOJ investigation. Mexico CEMEX had said that it had received information requirements from the U.S. DOJ, the Department of Justice, over its operations in Colombia and other jurisdictions. The investigation comes after the company said in December that the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, had asked for information to determine whether it violated the Corrupt Practices Act in the construction of a new plant in Colombia. So there are some shadows over this company as well. As an aside, the bridge collapse in Miami last March used this company's concrete. I thought that that was kind of interesting. In regards to their technological stuff, they signed an agreement back on 10-1-13 to join the UN Foundation Global Alliance for Clean Cook Stoves. The statement given was the public-private partnership seeks to protect the environment and improve local communities' quality of life by creating a global market for clean and efficient household cooking solutions. Launched in 2010 by then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the Alliance eyes adoption of clean cook stoves and fuels in 100 million households globally by 2020. It advocates for alternatives to open air stoves whose pollution levels jeopardize the individual and community health, et cetera, et cetera. So they're involved not just in concrete, but also in some technological stuff too. At the 2014 Clinton Global Initiative annual meeting, PCI, Project Concern International, and CMEX announced a new partnership to transform urban slums in the developing world into resilient neighborhoods. The UUPPP, or the Urban Upgrading Through Public Private Partnerships program, would involve public and private partnerships at the community level in pilot countries with low-cost loans to poor and vulnerable populations for the construction and low-cost housing, et cetera, et cetera. Interestingly enough, the first pilot countries in the three-year program would include Mexico. So we have ties from CMEX to Soros, to Clinton, to a whole bunch of people who are reputably have been in and are involved in very, very nefarious purpose projects. There's a lot of money involved in CMEX tied directly to Soros, to Clinton. Yeah, what do you make of that? Investigate that on your own and see what you think about that. CMEX also has a lot of connections to China, just as an aside. I also thought it was interesting that CMEX has a plant right in the middle of Hollywood, California. That's very odd considering the real estate around there. This was taken from one of the anonymous sites. We also know that Hollywood is huge for child pedophilia. Is there a connection there? That's speculation, but make of it what you will. It's reported to be at the edge of the Hollywood Media District. The media district isn't exclusively media companies, but it's comprised of mostly media industry companies such as sound stages, prop production, etc. The CMEX factory is in a weird spot nowadays. It's an eyesore, according to, this was from Anonymous. Some of the neighborhood around it has become less industrial. So now you have a shopping center with a Target, Best Buy, restaurants, etc. next to a cement factory. Some of the media district is nice, big sound stages, security, nice restaurants, nice big houses and condos. However, some of it is industrial, vacant, especially at night, attracts people who sleep in their cars and RVs, and also attracts prostitution and drug dealing. Driving on some of those side streets near the CMEX factory at night, you can expect to see some homeless people living on those streets and some people dealing sex and drugs on those streets also. So again, make of that what you will. CMEX was also hired to rebuild Haiti in the wake of the quake. They were, in fact, according to this, given over $7 million for a contract to build homes in Haiti a few years after the earthquake, and they donated over $25,000 to the Clinton Foundation. There's also a little blurb here on Anonymous that the car used to poison Skripal, the Russian spy, and his daughter was owned by Ross Cassidy, who was also an employee of CMEX. The car was left in the lot at his workplace. And then if we go into the current administration and the building of Trump's wall, Trump notably passed CMEX by for that contract. That to me was very interesting too. There's a picture here. It says Mexico's largest cement company won't build Trump's wall. Well, speculation here, but this they are and have something to do with child trafficking and possibly illegal drugs as well. They certainly wouldn't want a wall built now, would they? There's also a link to them. There's an email from Podesta, of all people, the CGI Latin America 2003. It's an email. It's from John Podesta, looks to be to the Clinton Global Initiative. Well, actually, from him at Gmail to jpodesta@americanprogress.org and copied in as the Clinton Global Initiative and Bob Harrison. It says right there in the email that regional companies that were sponsoring them were CMEX. So you've got in one email Podesta, the Clinton Global Initiative, and CMEX all tied together again. Soros is said to hold $41 million in CMEX stock. In addition, it looks like Anon had discovered that the drainage tunnels that end near where that camp was found lead back to the Desert Diamond Hotel and Casino in Tucson. We're talking about Native reservation land here. The location has refused National Guard on their land, opposed the border wall. And we also know that 50% of all drug seizures in the nation take place on their land. So that's also a potential another connection, something that can raise eyebrows if you look at it a little more closely. Desert Diamond Casinos is an enterprise of the Tohono O'odham Nation. They refused to have National Guardsmen on their grounds. They don't want Trump to build the wall. The reason for that is they say that it will separate their people from necessary water sources. But there has been some light shed on the Desert Diamond Casinos and Entertainment Center and their links to child trafficking, or at least their accusations of links to child trafficking. So something to think about. Certain sects of Native American culture, there's a blurb here. Considerable evidence suggests that the Odom and Apache were friendly and engaged in exchange of goods and marriage partners before the 17th century. Odom oral history, however, suggests that intermarriages resulted from raiding between the two tribes. It was typical for women and children to be taken captive and raised to be used as slaves for the victor or by the victors. Often women married into the tribe into which they were held captive and assimilated under duress. Both tribes thus incorporated enemies and their children into their culture. So there is some of that in their background, just saying. Again, make of it what you will. I thought it was very interesting to note that the actual mayor of Tucson, Arizona, is a Rothschild, Jonathan Rothschild. We can go even farther down the rabbit hole and talk about the recent murders in people that, in regards to the JonBenet Ramsey case, actually four people that recently were killed. Stephen Pitt, he was a forensic psychiatrist, was found shot dead in Phoenix last week. And then 48-year-old Valeria Sharp and 49-year-old Laura Anderson, who were two paralegals at a Scottsdale law firm. The firm practices, by the way, in divorce, child support, family law, litigation, and other mediation. And then Marshall Levine, who was a psychologist and counselor, they were investigating the link also to see if he was tied into the three previous deaths. I don't know how all of that ties into this, but it was all brought up in the same context, and I just wanted to bring it to your attention as something that you might want to investigate on your own. A link that was shown to me on a public forum on Facebook by a young lady. I thought it was interesting. I really don't want to trace down the conspiracy theory tunnel too much because I'm trying to be objective in my report of the story and share information with you. However, there was a U.S. patent number 4203674 from May 20th, 1980. Check that patent out. I thought it was very interesting that this patent involves the use of blood in the construction of concrete materials. The abstract says the present invention relates to the use of blood in the construction and building industry, whereby blood and extracts of blood containing hemoglobin are used as air in training colloids. The recommended process for preparing a lightened material consists in associating a construction element chosen from the cement, mortars, and concrete with at least one air in training colloid chosen from whole blood, globules, red blood corpuscles, and hemoglobin. The invention also relates to the lightened material obtained according to this process. Now, that we don't know. Are they using animal blood in the construction of that material? What kind of blood specifically are they using? But given the history of Luciferianism and Satanistic rituals and the use of blood rite and rituals, and now we have this, you know, it's something to just look at and say, wow, what do you make of that? You know, what do you think about that? Is that where potentially some of these bodies are going, some of these children that are being raped and murdered and used for sex slavery? What happens to the remains? What happens to the children, the thousands of children that go missing every year? Are they all being trafficked? Is it possible that part of them are being used for something like this? Is it possible? I'm not saying that it's a definite. I'm saying that it's something that maybe you should consider. And for some of you that may be going too far down the rabbit hole, they could be using cows, they could be using animals. But in conjunction with CMEX and everything else that we're looking at, is it something that maybe should be investigated further? That's up to you. Well, there were also a couple of things that were brought to my attention in relation to a tweet by Hillary Clinton on June 1st of 2018, in which she tweeted, "There is no more important test of our country than the way we treat the most vulnerable among us, especially children. We cannot turn away from what's happening on our watch. We have to act." There have been several stories published in which there are people speculating that that is a code because of Hillary's links to CMEX, that possibly this is a code. They've highlighted and capitalized some of the letters. If you use the T in test, this, the U in our, the C in country, the S in most, the O N in among, that spells out Tucson, T U S or T U C S O N rather, and then children as a word, and then we have to act. Some people are speculating that that is a code for whoever it has the children and maybe is in front of these guys from BOP to get the children out of the area. Now, when I look at that objectively, I mean, I'm not a very big puzzle person. I like spy novels. I like spy novels as much as the next guy. The way that the wording is, the spacing between the words, there's really not a rhyme or reason I can come up with when I do look at the T in test, the U in our, the C in country, the S in most, the O in and among, and then the word children, Tucson children, and then the word away in its entirety, and then the we have to act. I don't see a numerical pattern. I do see where the letters are there. I do see that it spells out Tucson, and then the word children, away, we have to act. But I don't see a numerical code in the relation of the spelling out of the word T-U-C-S-O-N. So make of that what you will. I mean, in all reality, could we do that with any message out there? If I were to type a paragraph, could you take letters and words out of there to spell out maybe a demonic word? I'm not saying that that's not possible. I'm saying, does this connect and is there any real proof to that? It depends on what side of the fence, I guess, that you're on and what your thought process is. Also, in conjunction with that, if you believe Q and the anonymous stories, if you look at tweets by Pope Francis, it seems like once a month he does. I mean, it's undeniable. Post a tweet in which the word concrete is used. Some examples are, love requires a creative, concrete response. Good intentions are not enough. The other is not a statistic, but a person to take care of. Let's always remember that our faith is concrete. The word became flesh, not an idea. The concrete sign that we have truly encountered Jesus is the way that we show in communicating it to others. The world needs concrete signs of solidarity, especially before the temptation of indifference. And let us work together to find concrete solutions to help the poor, refugees, victims of modern forms of slavery in order to promote peace. And those are just a few. It's my understanding that pretty much once a month, old Pope guy there is tweeting some sort of tweet with the word concrete in there. Given the ties to what some of us believe the Catholic Church is involved in and their Satanism and ritualistic habits, let's say. I thought that that was interesting to note as well. Again, make of that what you will. In regards to the story as a whole, these are some of the facts. These are some of the stories. These are some of the articles that I found and I've investigated that are all seemingly tied to, at least even reachingly, but seemingly tied to the story that we're dealing with here with the VOP. I leave it to you to sort it all out, extract it, and make of it what you will. In regards for these people, I will say that I will continue to pray for them that they, first of all, what they put out there, that it's put out there in total truth. My main concern is that the fact that they're reporting things that aren't true is taking away from their credibility in their purported mission. I don't think that that's right. I do have personal feelings one way or another on this. When we take things and we blow them out of proportion and we create this media poop storm, it's really important that they report on facts rather than make up things that they say that they found. For instance, the boxes of condoms, the bloody knife, the bloody blankets. Where is all that stuff? Where is the physical evidence of that? And I think that it's important that I think that it's taken away from their credibility. I think that they need to be truthful in what they're finding, behind them 100% insofar as they're continuing to traverse the territory and see what evidence that they come up with. In the recent video with the trailers, yeah, the fact that they called out the sheriff there to the site to investigate whether or not that's been done, whether or not that was poo-pooed, I don't know. I kind of lost track of this story last night sometime around 4 a.m. So in regards to what's going forward, I'm going to continue to pray for them that they do the right thing, that they report what they find honest, that they really stop sensationalizing the story, because child trafficking is very real. Child trafficking, human trafficking, the evil things that are being done to our children is a very real subject. And I think that any time that somebody takes away from that and sensationalizes it, it takes away from the stories of credibility as a whole for the people who are doing legitimate investigations and for the people that are trying legitimately to help these children. Again, I'm not saying that that's not the focus on these guys, but I am saying that very, very obviously they've blown a lot of things out of proportion and reported a lot of untruth. So I'd like to see them, you know, stick to the basics, stick to the facts. Hopefully the police will get involved and do some serious investigation of these bones and things that they found. And if not, is there a possibility that some outside sources can be used to scientists and researchers and forensic experts that can independently investigate the things that are found. I would hope that our police would do that on their own, but if that's not the case, I would say that it's pretty important that independent sources then are called in before these sites are demolished to do some investigation to find out what's really there and what really can be discovered. I'll continue to follow it as it progresses. And I just want to say thank you all for listening. God bless you all. Make your own conclusions, do your own research, fight the fight, fight the good fight, prevent child trafficking, keep your children safe, let them be aware of the possibility of a stranger that they're talking to on the internet, that it may be a predator. Keep your child safe, know where they are at all times, pray for our children, pray for the people who really are doing the right thing in regards to child investigation. I will say again that Veterans for Child Rescue seems to be doing a lot of good. They are sticking strictly to the facts that they're being given to them and reporting on them that way. What their final interpretation was of the investigation, they're going by what they have in their hands as documented police reports. And I can respect that. Personally speaking, in regards to all of your information in regards to CMAX, is there more to it? Is there something more that maybe could be looked at? I think that may be the case. So do with it what you will. Have a good night. Thanks all for listening, and God bless you all. Also, the music provided was by Pat Carr, as always. Let me just give him his quick plug. I love you, Pat Carr. Thank you for letting me use your music on my shows. Please give him a check on SoundClick. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and have a good night.